Hey,
welcome back, everybody, to Bad Film Good, the podcast where we look at poorly rated movies and we ask the question, is this bad film good? My name is Douglas.
I'm Aiden. Let's go. We're gonna do a rap now. My name is Aiden. I do a rap. It's hard to rap without a beat.
You can sink that ship on your own if you want.
Nah, I think I'll leave it.
Today we will not be rapping. We will be looking at, however, Hoodwinked 2. That's right, baby. Hoodwinked 2, Hood versus Evil. But before we get hoodwinking, Aiden, why don't you tell us what is Hood Shrekking?
Brilliant.
This week, thank you.
It always comes out with the bangs.
I pull it out of the hat. Or should I say hood?
Or should you say ass?
so you read my mind, buddy.
This is an article from Mail Online. And I will say that they've missed a trick here because they've kind of given us all the information in the title. So it's kind of like, all right, well...
rookie error.
I know, right?
I'm like, to clickbait the title and give us the answer the end of the article.
Exactly. So, Shrek 5 release date is leaked, that's all in capitals, by NBC intern in since-deleted LinkedIn post, accidentally revealing the movie is set to come out in 2025. That is all that the information. That's the entire title.
What the fuck, bro? Yeah. Who wrote... That's like a placeholder title where they're like, I'll write the article first, and then I'll go back and get like a good summary, like clickbait title of the article, and then it's published by accident.
Let me just write at the top what I'm going to write in this article,
and then we'll come back to it later.
Literally. It goes, since deleted LinkedIn post, dash... accidentally revealing that movie is set to come out in 2025. Bro, you just did the big reveal. And then they double down because the first paragraph says, someone let the ogre out of the bag about the potential release date for the highly anticipated fifth installment of the beloved Shrek franchise. An intern at NBC Universal listed the movie as among those hitting theaters in 2025, but they quickly deleted the post. That is all the info! You've done it again!
That's it. You've just written it out with more words.
Yeah, and now... you've got to fill out your article to hit that word count. So what do? We just write what Shrek is.
What Shrek is, yeah. Oh, that is the classic. Do you know what? It's one of those things where it's almost become endearing. So if you see an article, you're like, oh man, I can't wait for the bit where they tell me what Shrek is.
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like a joke that is funny, then becomes not funny, then becomes funny again. Yeah. And then becomes not funny again.
They filled it out. I mean, they told us what Shrek is, and then they filled it out with, like, quotes we've already read in other articles. They've quoted the guy from Illumination, which is now doing Shrek or something. Yeah, Chris Mendeleary, 63. I don't know why they had to specify how old he was.
Just outing his age.
Yeah. The founder and CEO of Illumin...
Bro hasn't retired yet.
Yeah, the CEO of Illumination, who is tasked with rebooting the Shrek franchise. But isn't Illumination essentially just DreamWorks 2? Like, because it's still...
Well, they did Minions and shit, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just going to get... Minions and Shrek now.
I guess so. I can't be fucked up. I can't be fucked up, but I also can't be fucked up.
Aiden literally is physically incapable of being fucked up. You want him in a fight, I'm telling you.
I can't be asked to look it up. But I think, wasn't The Last Wish Illumination? Like, technically or something? Even though it doesn't look like it.
I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I have no idea, so I'm going to say yes.
But anyway, that guy, Chris Mandeliri, or Melandari, whatever, he said, we anticipate the cast coming back. Talks are starting now, and every indication that we've gotten is that there's tremendous enthusiasm on behalf of the actors' return. I think we've already read that quote, but let's just double down. It seems like everyone's coming back. Even Cameron Diaz, because at the end of the article they mentioned that Cameron Diaz is coming back to acting in 2024 in a film with Jamie Foxx or something. So she's back. No reason not to do Shrek. They're all back. They're all good. Shrek,
so
2025.
Like running for president. Shrek 2024.
Four more years. Four more Shreks. Shreks.
If Kanye can do it, then...
That's not real, though. Surely that's not real, right? What, is he actually running? Like,
I don't know if he
running?
Actually was running, but he was doing like a whole Kanye 2024 thing because he did that fucking racist line of clothing.
That is just, I still am baffled by that. I can't, we looked that up together.
Well, I suppose, no, why? Well, and if you could call it specifically racist, it's just everything is like, it was not, it was Nazi.
It was stuff. It anti-Semitic, was, yeah, it was not good. I guess.
Anti-Semitic, I guess.
It
I
was
suppose,
everything.
Yeah.
It was
that's part of the course
everything.
For that man. Yeah. But quickly coming back to the Illumination thing. no, so it says Puss in Boots was DreamWorks. I don't see any mention that Illumination were involved in that, but it does say that the Illumination founder and CEO was brought on board as an executive producer of both Shrek 5 and Puss in Boots 2 back in 2018. And then I think it went through all sorts of things before it eventually ended up as what it is. But I don't think it says it was actually them. I didn't realize that the Super Mario Bros. Movie was
that was Illumination.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I wonder who owns Illumination? That NBC.
I do.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. NBC own Illumination, which is also Universal, because it's NBC Universal. And and Universal own DreamWorks.
Yeah, it's all a bloody monopoly these
days. So I feel like DreamWorks is just folding into Illumination.
Right, I see. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Hoodwink 2. The Illumination film from, when did it come out? 2011.
From 2022.
Yeah. What do we do?
Hang on. I was hoping that you'd talk a little longer.
Did you forget to read up the thing?
I always... Okay, when I take notes on my phone while I'm watching it, I always forget to get the
To get the Shrekking. No, not Shrekking, the thing.
To get the like the brief summary of what it is. The thing is, and I'm trying to do this while I'm searching for it.
Do you want me to
for some reason you, for some reason sure? No, I definitely don't want that to happen. For some reason I couldn't find on my phone where the fucking Prime Video app was, even though I know where it is. My brain was like, oh, quick. And then I opened up the Amazon shopping fucking app.
Quick, buy Hoodwink 2.
Buy Hoodwink again. Yeah. I have it right here. So, this side-splitting sequel to Hoodwinked follows Little Red... Oh, I forget they don't call it... They just call it Little Red. Because it puts Little Red and then in brackets Hayden Panettiere and her gang as they investigate the disappearance of Hansel in brackets Bill Hader and Gretel in brackets Amy Poehler. I don't know, is that how you say it?
I always say Poehler, but I don't know if that's right.
Hey, bloody Amy Poehler.
Parks and Rec lady.
Yeah, it's the lady from that show. With the parks, whatever. Fuck it.
Good stuff.
Give us some info.
Right.
You have your bit prepared.
I have my bit prepared always, because I'm better than you. Directed by Mike... directed by Mike Disser and Zell... What the fuck did you just say?
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Okay. So it was,
hey, there's the bell! There's the bell, ladies and gentlemen! Aiden, please tell myself and the audience what it is that you are having for dinner today.
Burger!
Who's having a fucking burger? I love that video. It's that thing where it's like, what's the sexiest accent? Exactly. They're like, I think it's probably like British. And then it's like, oh, what's a fucking burger? Yeah, that's right.
Good stuff. Brilliant. So, directed by Mike Dieser.
Dieser-nuts.
And Zeljko Mitrovic. It was...
Is that Mike guy, the one from the first one as well, probably?
Oh, Corey Edwards wrote it.
Corey Edwards, I think he's the one that voices the squirrel.
Yes, and he directed the first one and wrote with his brother Todd, which they did again for this one.
Right.
They fell off.
You wouldn't know.
Could
have done with a couple more revisions. But yeah, carry on.
This stars Hayden Panettiere.
Panettiere!
You know who she is.
Hayden Panettiere.
Glenn Close, Patrick Warburton, Joan Cusack, David Ogden Stiers, Bill Hader, Amy Poehler, whatever, Corey Edwards, Martin Short, Brad Garrett, Andy Dick, he's back.
Wait, did they actually get him back for that?
Yeah, they got him back.
Oh, no. But I suppose because, I mean, we looked through his entire history at the time, I mean... What, that was the early 2010s. He probably got a pay rise for it.
Yeah, they were probably, that's good stuff. Keep that up. We won't arrest you.
We want that and more of that. Expose yourself again or whatever you did.
Steve Buscemi, Cheech Marin and Tommy Chong. Cheech and Chong are in this, briefly.
Wait, are they the...
They're the pigs.
The pigs? Yeah. That's what I was thinking. How that makes sense, because you got the like, hey man, what's going on, man? Fuck's sake.
It's got... it had a budget of... It had a budget of 30 million. Which I can't remember is that the same? Probably, roughly. And it made 23 million.
Ooh.
This fucking sucks.
The first one definitely had less than...
I feel like it was about the same. 30
million? Remember it was. It was like 25 million.
It's got 4.7 out of 10 on IMDb, 11% on Rotten Tomatoes, and only 20 Metacritics liked it. Rough.
But some would say not rough enough.
Yeah, let's get into it.
So, I mean, straight off the bat, before we get into it, I had seen the first movie, and I had not seen this movie.
They had the same budget, by the way. Just
they had the same budget.
Yeah.
Wow. I think that's a lie. Wherever you got that information from, Google, that's a lie. I'd seen the first movie, hadn't seen this one, didn't know what to expect kind of going in. But one thing that I never thought I would have said coming in from the first one is that the animation in the first one for me was better.
What?
No, not as in like clearly the actual like technical them animating stuff looked better in this one, you know, like it wasn't like freaky eyes stuck open dolls or whatever.
Yeah.
But like I don't know what they did to some of these characters. Fuck me, I dropped my drumstick again. I don't know what they did to these characters, but fucking hell. Red Riding Hood looks like she's 5 years old. She looks like a toddler. Her face is so fucking weird. Doesn't look like what it used to at all.
Okay. So what you're saying is the character design is fucked. Not the animation.
The animation is
100 times better.
Yeah, it is definitely better, but...
In every possible way.
But it's kind of... Yeah, it definitely fucked some of the... I don't know, because I liked how... I didn't like how smooth and things were.
Nah, you've already... week. Your brain has erased the memory of the tweet. It's fucking thing is, rough,
for
man.
Me, like, I will fully admit that because it's such a nostalgic film for me, I liked the, like, weird, jittery weirdness of how they all worked.
No!
And so in this, seeing Granny in fucking 60 FPS, I was like, nah, I don't like that.
Oh god. We could just talk about the plot is very generic. Do you want to give a brief rundown of what happens?
Considering that the fucking synopses are shit on these things. I mean, yeah, basically they sort of follow on from the end of the first one where they were like, hey, we should form a fucking crackpot team of mystery sleuthers and detectives, and we get the bad guys or whatever, just because, you know, they happen to all fall into this. Like, you'd never do that, but sure. Anyway, this one, they kind of expand on the universe. They have this thing called what are they called? Is it the HAE?
I don't know.
The HEA, sorry. Because it's the Happily Ever After Agency or something. And they go around stopping the bad guys in fairy tales, pretty much. And they come across a witch who's going to eat Hansel and Gretel, as we all know how that goes. And Hansel and Gretel get kidnapped. They've got to go and stop the witch. Turns out in the end Hansel and Gretel were behind it all along, and they're super creepy and want to rule the world with the special recipe, like the most specialist recipe of them all, which is for this muffin that will give you superpowers.
It seems like it just makes you big.
They eat too many and it makes them too big to move, so that's how they win.
and that's kind of it. I will say, I don't know what specifically, but the magic of the first one is just fully gone.
100%. And I'm telling you, dude, it's the animation.
It's not the animation.
No,
there's no jokes. Like, it actually...
Yeah.
Look, I have seen this before when I was younger, and I remember this is why I was like, oh, God, because I remember it being awful. Definitely, it's not as bad as I remember it. And it's not awful.
As your harsh critique as a toddler.
Yeah, yeah. It's not shit, but it's just not very funny. It just feels a bit hollow. Like, the first one has so much heart.
It's got so
much going for it. And this one just felt a bit like...
Yeah. I don't know if you call this, like, sequel syndrome, maybe, if that's kind of part of that.
Oh, maybe,
I don't know whether that's specific to a specific kind of sequel syndrome. But it does feel like that kind of thing where, like, I don't know, the intent there was good, because they're, like, you know, they expand upon the world a bit. You know, they're not just within that, like, small forest area thing that they have in the first one. And you kind of see more. But, like, I don't know, it feels like they put loads of... They sort of try and cram in loads of cameos and characters and stuff from the first one. But some of them are just throwaway shit. Like, they keep putting this recurring joke in that the, they said his name and I can't remember what his name was. The singing goat's
back.
He's back, but it's so shit because he's just like, they got this recurring joke that he keeps getting shat on. So, like, which, again, had nothing to do with what he was like in the first one. In fact, in the first one, he was the opposite of that, because he was always prepared for stuff. They just have him like, oh, he's in the woods, and he's doing a little sing-song, and then he gets something like falls on him. And then the next time we see him, he's in the city, and he's singing about how he's moved to the city because it's too dangerous in the woods. And then something falls and hits him. And et cetera, et cetera. And you see it like a bunch of times. He keeps getting dunked on. But, like, even the songs he's doing are just shit. Because he's not really singing it. They had to do it quick, and it's not like they made that tune in the first film where he's like, I got horns that open battles, I got horns. Like, that whole kind of thing. I know all the notes, of course, as I said before. It's that thing where I can't remember the... It's like some really simple tune that's just like... Almost as it, he almost just seems like he's just saying the words, and he's just no kind of like interesting thing behind it or whatever. But yeah, and just they had some interesting concepts of like opening up stuff, but I think that's just kind of par the course for like, oh, it's a fairy tale thing. How do we work different elements of fairy tales into this world? And so, as an audience member, you're like, oh, that's this thing. Oh, they've turned, you know, oh, the Beanstalk is like a bougie restaurant kind of and kind of dance fucking place or whatever. Like one of those mafia kind of I don't know what you call them. It's not like a club. I guess it's a club in a different kind of sense.
It's a club, either way. But it's like one of those 50s Frank Sinatra club things.
And so you have things like that where you're like, that's interesting. But, yeah, it's just not as... I don't know, they just lost that kind of... I think that the jokes in the first movie were really funny because they were quick and snappy and throwaway. Yeah. And sometimes you catch it and be like, oh, that's so stupid, that's funny. But they were actually, like, really... I don't know how you'd kind of define the difference between how those ones were funny and then the ones in this one, which in essence are sort of the same thing because they'll have like throwaway jokes that are like either puns or whatever, but they're just not, they just don't hit. And you're just like, I get what you did. That was like like about five times in this movie, they make the witch joke. Where they're like that witch or something. And shit like that, and you're like, I don't know, I'm just not feeling it. Even, like, Patrick Warburton as the wolf. In the first one, fucking
sounds,
great.
Yeah, he sounds like Halle... Was it Halle Berry? No, who was in the first one? Fucking...
Oh, Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway. He sounded in this one like Anne Hathaway looked in the first one. He just like...
Did we? Just, we must have talked about that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, in the extras, in the behind the scenes.
She was like, fucking get me out of here. I actually want to like jump out the window. I hate this job.
But
so great.
He
probably
just
the bunny
sounds...
kept trying to flash her.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But she just... whoever Patrick Warburton identifies as, he just sounds just uninterested. Like, and I know that's kind of...
It'll be partially the script and stuff as well.
It's
his like,
script,
just wasn't
and also, I feel like if Patrick Warburton sounds uninterested, it's like magnified to a million because it's Patrick Warburton being like,
yeah.
Oh,
no,
girls go. But like, yeah. I don't know, just
I think
no
also,
one seemed that into it.
Yeah, I think also the first movie was a detective mystery, like non-linear narrative kind
yes.
of thing, piecing it together.
That's a great point.
And it was like, it was fun and interesting and had all these different moving parts and all this kind of stuff. And this one is just a straight A to B action adventure type deal where they put in these characters, learn lessons and have arcs where they've got to learn to work together and play along or whatever, which felt just very like, I mean, they literally do the whole thing where there's no subtlety to it. And they're just like, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been a dickhead because I was doing this and I shouldn't have done this, and then say, thanks, buddy. Well, I shouldn't have done this either because I was also being a knobhead in a different way. And then now we're going to work together to beat the bad guy or whatever. And you're like, it's just not, it just feels more generic.
Yeah, it's just, I wonder how much of it is like the first one does the subvert expectations sort of thing. You know, like the first Shrek as well. Well, every Shrek is gold. But,
right.
The first Shrek was so popular because it was like completely that was the whole
new
point of it. Yeah, well, that was the whole point. It was like, let's do exactly the opposite of all these fairy tales because we're angry at Disney, basically.
Yeah,
and the first Hoodwinked was kind of like, all right, well, it's Red Riding Hood, but completely the opposite of what you'd expect. Like the wolf is a good guy, and Granny's into BDSM. And, you know, like, Granny's not innocent. She's innocent, but, like, she's not just the little old lady you expect her to be.
Yeah.
And the lumberjack doesn't... He's not, like, this big, burly, save-the-day kind of guy. He's a schnitzel man that wants to do, like, Broadway. He comes back, by the way, and...
Yeah.
In a better film, you'd be like, oh my god! But in this, you're like, he's back.
And also, his character is just like, shit.
Yeah.
Like, in the first one, it was he obviously, I think that either they got a different voice actor, because I don't know if he sounded the same or not.
I feel like they
made him like very fluent now, whereas before he was sort of like, English was definitely his second language, because he's like Dutch or German or something. I don't know. And
Austrian.
He's sort of like, or Austrian. Yeah. And he kind of had a real like personality to him. Whereas now he's just like, he just burst in and he's just this kind of, oh, he's Mr. like fame and, you know, he's a big, I was going to say actor, but he's a yodeler because he's part of the yodel group that he wanted to be a part of in the first one.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh yeah, I'm a part of this. And he's just like chatting away. And you're like, oh, this isn't the guy that I knew.
Yeah.
Or like, this isn't even like a version that I would be like, oh, you can see how he's like developed since we've left him and like, et cetera, et cetera. He's just kind of generic and you're like, and he's in it as like a plot thing to just be like, oh well, I can get the yodelers and they'll help you out, and they're just sort of throwing it in, and that's just stuff like that where I'm like, just feels very like
just feels a bit, you know, even the almost, like
just... it does, well yeah it does, it kind of, it just feels like they stuck him on a very generic kind of, all right, well, the first, I think it's because the first film, you could really rely on the comedy of these people not being what you think they are and not being as they seem. And you can kind of really play into it. And then in the second one, they try to either like, they can't just rely on that gimmick anymore. So they've got to make them more real and more like, you know, they have conflicts and they have whatever and blah, blah, blah. Which means they kind of then just feel more, or at least the way they've done it, it just makes them feel a bit more generic because they're just like, oh, I'm the big bad wolf guy who was a journalist in the first one and then doesn't seem to really have any of those traits in this one. And
yeah, it doesn't seem very journally.
And Red Riding Hood... we're on a team, but we don't work well together, and we've got to learn to work well together on a team. And I'm like, I don't really want to see that, though.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because it's just a bit, you know. And also, like, Red Riding Hood, on the other side of things, they're like, oh, yeah, Red Riding Hood's away, like, fucking Batman with the League of Assassins, like, training on that, on a mountaintop.
I was like...
With the Sisterhood... of the Hood.
When they first did that, I was like, oh shit, this is like world building. And then like 2 seconds in, I'm like, all right, it was more of a joke than a plot point.
I
don't
know. One joke, I tell you what, I've just realized on my note, I think I meant to put the animation looks weird. but either it autocorrected or I was distracted. I just put the animation looks dot 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 work. But like, so in the beginning they do kind of throw like a few funny jokes out there that I noted down, like when, because it starts with this group where they're gonna go and save Hansel and Gretel from the witch, and when they're sort of getting everyone together and they're calling out the names of all the people, you know, like getting positions and stuff, and then they have two of the agents are Knick Knack and Paddywhack. Like the rhyme Knick Knack,
Paddywhack,
give a dog a bone, whatever.
And
I was like, there's stuff like that where I'm like, okay, that's funny. It's not like, oh, I laughed or anything, but I was like, Knick Knack, Paddywhack, yeah, I'll write that down. And then there's the, what was the other bit? In the fucking League of Assassins, Sisterhood of the Hood, you have like there's this old lady
in a yellow
hoodie.
Funny, yeah.
And she's instructing people to like, oh, she's like, okay, now do this move, now do this move. And then she says, like, what is it she gets hit with? She's like, do the
rolling pin.
Oh yeah, do the flying rolling pin. And somebody just throws a rolling pin at her. But you don't see it, it just flies off screen onto screen into her face and knocks her onto the ground. And I was like, as soon as she said flying rolling pin, I was like, oh, it's going to be a thing. And then I was like, haha, okay, sure. They do the joke again later, by the way, but it wasn't funny the second time around. But she gets hit and you're like, that was a bit cool, move on. No, You have Red talking to the woman who, one of the sisters who like failed her test and is walking her back. Both of them just walk over that lady, literally like stepping on her skull while she's on the floor and don't even blink. And that was one of the, if not the funniest joke that they did. But they did do it again. And yeah, I was like, It wasn't funny the second time. Now you killed it. The first time they did it was so unexpected.
There's a couple times they do the, they do a joke. You're like, that's good. They'll do a joke and they're like, you're like, that's pretty good. And because they're like, that was good, let's do that again.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I'm not.
We'll keep doing it till it's funny again.
Yeah. There was one that did actually make me laugh. I was like, because it was like the witch that steals Hansel and Gretel, AKA Green Goblin. She's got the fucking like,
yeah, literally Godspeed, Spider-Man.
Yeah, she's got the fucking mask and she's riding like,
I never thought about that. It's like,
yeah.
She's literally riding a glider.
She puts down the mask. She's like, no, no, I can't. I can't steal the recipe.
Do it, pussy. Norman's on sabbatical. I love that line. I love that line so much. Willem Dafoe. There's no one like
him. What a man. But shit. So and it turns out that the witch is actually
controversy.
Oh no!
No, I'm kidding.
The witch is actually someone that used to be in the sisterhood, but got pissed at Granny because Granny was like better than her. So she's like, "Fuck you! I'll turn to a life of crime, I guess." And she's like, "It's the big reveal of like, I can't remember her name, but she's like, I used to be in the sisterhood," and then she's like explaining her backstory. And then the granny goes, why are you telling me I was there? I was like, all right, that's funny. That's good stuff.
There's one bit I wasn't sure whether you were thinking of.
All right, because we might still have the same one. Which, is it the one that plays into our theory that granny gets up to some wild fucking shit?
No, it's something to do with the squirrel.
Ah, okay, I might miss that one then. The evil witch is thick as shit. Like,
Boy, she
thinks... Oh, shit! Oh, I'm about to do something.
I'm about to bust.
She about to make me act up. that's not what I meant. I meant she's dumb. she dummy thick.
She dummy thick. Let's go. Godspeed, Spider-Man. jiggles away. Colonel, I'm trying to sneak around, but the clap of my ass cheeks is alerting the guards.
Gonna throw some dirt in your eye. but yeah, she's like, she's really dumb. And I did like the thing where Granny's like, oh, I can't possibly be expected to cook the magic truffle in this kitchen. I'll need some extra shit. She's like, oh, fucking fine, all right, I'll go get you some extra stuff. And again, that was funny the first time, and then it just keeps having you like, ah, whatever. But
yeah,
but like, I would have been. They do the big reveal that she's not the villain; it's Hansel and Gretel. And I was like, honestly, I would have been more surprised if Hansel and Gretel weren't evil, because they do. They literally do the thing where it's like, remember the first one when that terrible, awful bunny was like, "You've been hoodwinked, baby."
Yeah,
like big reveal.
By the way,
the bunny.
He delivered it better.
Yeah, yeah. but he's like, yeah, you like, and we did the thing where it's like, yeah, if you're an adult, you're like, well, of course I fucking know it's the bunny. He shows up in every scene. But yeah, as a kid, you might be like, oh my god, it's the bunny. But this, there's no like leading you into it. Hansel and Gretel are just like, you've been hoodwinked. We are the evil ones. And you're like, yeah, okay. Like, just...
genuinely, I'm happy that you said that, because I thought you were about to say... And it was so obvious that they were the ones that were in on it, because I was like... I mean, I didn't think that was going to be the case.
Not until
Granny broke free.
Nah, I was
then
like...
I was like, wait, they're going to be in on it, aren't they?
Because also, why would you get Bill Hader and Amy Poehler to be Hansel and Gretel that have just been kidnapped? Like,
yeah,
I was like,
I didn't 100% think much about the cast beforehand.
Yeah, I was like, 100% they're evil, which is like that probably didn't help looking at the cast. But I was just like, that it's like the fucking Davin was a ghost payoff as well.
Oh,
because
what a
there's
callback.
No what a
episode call- one episode one episode go one. Check it out. The third eye.
But there's no indication whatsoever. They get captured, they're tied up, and then their granny's like escapes and rescues them, and they're like, we're evil, actually. And you're like, well, there's no, like, what, that's so shit.
Yeah. You didn't lay any, like, you didn't prime a pistol or lay any breadcrumbs, anything.
Yeah, so, I mean, the secret ingredient was macadamia nuts, and I was like, earlier on, I was like, man, if the secret ingredient is love, I'll fucking shoot myself. but props to them, they were like, no, it's just some nuts. They just didn't write it down. I was like, okay, fine.
I thought they were doing like a thing where Red was like, it's macadamia nuts, and then the siblings would be like, yeah, we tricked you, and now we get to have the thing, and then they do it, and then it just, I don't know, makes them shit.
Yeah,
and then Red's like, you dumbass. Obviously, it wasn't actually macadamia nuts. I was just saying that, but it was actually that, and then they get superpowers or whatever. Just, they go big.
Yeah.
One thing I liked was he said, when they're getting their, when they both eat the muffins, or whatever, they know, truffles, aren't they? When they eat the truffles, and they're trying out their powers, they've grown to like the size of the room almost. And then he picks up like a table and he's like, I have the strength of 1,000 little boys. And I just thought that was like a funny, just a stupid, because normally you're like, I have the strength of 10 men or 100 men or whatever. But he's just like, no, this is the unit I know. So it's 1,000 little boys.
And the wolf's like, that's like 3 grown men. You know that, Strong. The biggest twist in this was not a twist, but it was like, so earlier on in the film, Red is like on a test. She's got to cross a bridge and fight a big troll. And she basically does it. She gets to the end of the bridge because she has to deliver some cakes or whatever.
With her magic hood.
Yeah, with her magic hood. And then the troll goes, oh, you're just a little girl. And she's like, the fuck did you just call me? And then, like, beats the shit out of him.
She's butthurt that they made her look like she's 5.
Yeah, yeah. What did you do to my character design? then at the end of the film, I was like, I was about to be so mad because they're like, they do the thing where they do some fighting against the giant Hansel and Gretel. They nick the truffles that they've got to take over the world or something. I guess it must wear off then because...
I don't know, because they didn't say... Oh, no, they did. They did say it would eventually wear off, because when they're talking about their evil plan and they're boxing up all these truffles, they're like, we're going to sell these to every supervillain on the planet, and the effects wear off, so they're going to have to keep paying us more to get more.
Oh, right, okay. Because I was like, well, why... I don't... They have the recipe now, so like, why are they that fussed that Red's nicked the box of truffles? But I guess it was for them or something. They're fighting. Red nicks the box and she's running away. And I was like, sweet. And I thought they were going to do the thing where they all have a truffle and then it's just like a giant Godzilla.
Yeah, I thought they were going to do that. Yeah. Budget didn't allow for that.
Nah. And then they're like, oh, fuck you, little girl. And then she's like, the fuck did you call me? And I was like, no, Red, no, you're stupid.
You fucking bitch.
Like, throw my beer at the screen. Fuck!
Oh, you ruined the bread.
Typical. Always another
Stella. Whoa, so bloody emotional. Makes me angry, which is not
makes
an
me emotional.
Yeah.
But then no, double cross. That's what they wanted. They were like, oh shit, they've got the truffles back, and if they eat them all, they'll become even more powerful. And then they're like, that seems legit and not bait.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. And then they just get really fat and they can't walk.
Doesn't that plan rely on the idea that Hansel and Gretel have prior knowledge that Little Red Riding Hood doesn't like being called a little girl? Because otherwise that was just purely up to chance. She was running away with the muffins.
Maybe that was plan B. Maybe they were like, all right, plan A, run away. Plan B, they call you little girl, bait them.
Stupid. But yeah, it's just... And then they eat loads of them and become like, literally, their bodies just become like a big round ball, and they've just got like a head and arms and legs attached to that big round ball.
Which is also a bit weird, because... Because when they eat the first truffle, they just scale up. It's not like they get fatter. So surely eating more truffles would just scale them up exponentially.
Well, they said,
but I guess not. Because they say it's full of sugar and stuff.
It's full of sugar and shit. And they're just like, one is fine, but shouldn't have too many sweeties, kids.
Yeah.
Or whatever, yeah.
But there's a couple of things that we have to get to. You do yours. Because I think we have the same thing.
Okay. Is the thing in the Giants restaurant place. Is that is that your thing? Are we thinking of the same thing?
No.
Oh, dude, it was... No, I forgot about it until I looked at my notes. That is hands down my favorite bit. And it is... And it's also because it's to do with the squirrel, who is one of my favorite characters out of the lot.
He's a bit dead in this, though.
He is a bit dead in this one. He's not like he was in the other one.
And
the
you
other
can
one,
understand
was so much
everything
better.
He's saying.
Yeah. Like, the other one had so many great moments with him. Like, the... and all this kind of stuff. You don't have anything
because
like
he's just saying one word very fast in the first one, and you're like, this guy's great. And this one, he's just like talking, but it's high pitch.
It's more like a closer to a chipmunk than a squirrel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Bloody again.
But yeah, so they are. There's a bit where they're in this Giants fucking restaurant place
club,
and they need to speak to the to this club and they need to speak to this harp that is like the harp is like a person, like the head that's on top of the harp, which is this golden statue head, can talk and stuff, and so they wanted to like interrogate him, whatever, and then they have all sorts of stuff going on. But there's a bit where while they're talking to him, the squirrel, I can't remember what his name is. Scratchy or something? No, that's Itchy and Scratchy. I don't know what his name is. There's a bit where he has to... I can't remember what he was being... What he was... Because they were, like, distracting and he was going to do something else, but I don't remember what it was. But as he's, like, pinging around the room in between people, there's a point where he hides underneath a table and there's two, like, goat people sat at the table. And as the woman's talking, she, like, raises her leg up. And she's got, you know, she's got her, like, feet, I guess, her hooves at the end of her, because they're goat people. And it's, like, this quick 2-second thing where he, like, he's running along, and he stops under this table, and her leg goes up, and her, like, hoof goes up under his nose. And before he moves off, he goes... And then he moves off, he fucking runs. So he just got a fucking nose full of her fucking toes before he went.
And I missed that. That.
Bit,
I didn't see
honestly, that.
That
bit was the one of the few bits in the film that just got me. And I was just I had to put it back. I was like, there's no fucking way they just did that. But she put her leg up and he just went just took a deep breath before he went.
oh man, that's
so
good.
Funny.
That's
it's just like that was that we want more of that, you know, like surprises.
Yeah. Just fucking wild shit. I had two. That my one with Twitch is like he's just fucking he's the quagmire of this story because we see like where the wolf and Twitch live, and he's like the wolf. He's like all depressed and he knocks on Twitch's caravan.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like,
him and Red have like.
Like, had a big
parted ways.
Yeah.
Broken up, whatever. He wants to fuck her. It's weird.
She's
dude,
a little girl.
Yeah, I know, which makes it worse. Like, she's supposed to, isn't she supposed to be like older? It doesn't matter. She looks like fine in this.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Andy Dick is your hero, so it makes sense.
No.
So Twitch is like, 2 seconds, and then, like, the door opens. And then he comes out wearing a fucking smoking jacket, like fucking What's-His-Face from the
like
Playboy
Great
Mansion.
Gatsby.
Yeah. And
like,
then, and then one lady squirrel comes out, kisses him on the cheek. Then a second lady squirrel comes up, kisses him on the mouth. And I was like, bro's having a three-way. What the fuck? And then you go into his apartment and it's all like, you know, art deco, fucking, you know, mirrors on the ceiling, just like loot.
He's got
like
a bar and he's like shaking up his own cocktail and shit.
Yeah, there's some fucking like condoms in a bowl and shit. Just like I was like, this guy fucks. this guy, man. I aspire to be him. But yeah, and then the other thing is fucking Granny BDSM is back at it again because she's like, she goes, it's when the witch like, who turns out to be Granny's old friend or whatever. She's like, we know each other. And then Granny says the line, have we met? Was it in the 60s? The 60s were kind of a blur. And I was like, the Granny's on LSD getting absolutely railed.
Oh, bro. Those are the swinging 60s. Okay. She made her way through them.
She made the rounds. I mean, bad film, good?
Nah, bad film, not good. It wasn't as... It was a letdown compared to the first one. The first one is genuinely good. It's so fun. Yeah. We did a whole episode on it, which you should listen to, by the way. Not you, Aiden, them. It just felt like a... Just like a, oh. Well, this was just kind of a bit generic.
The jokes weren't
as good. And it was just kind of a bit like a, oh, would have been nice if it was the same. I was kind of looking forward to the same quality. At least they had some of the same voice. Like, at least they had Patrick Warburton.
Yeah, I can't. And Glenn Close. Like, they got most of the big hitters back.
Yeah.
It's just like, I mean,
Anne Hathaway couldn't be paid enough.
That $30 million budget barely stretched for the first film.
Yeah, it was a mill for the animation and 29 for her.
But bad film. Not good. It's not terrible. It's not awful. I remembered it being like one of the worst films I've ever seen. And that's saying something because I would have been like, I don't know, like 12 or something. But
yeah.
Like, yeah, it's not that bad, but it's not good. That's about everything that we got for this week. Next week, we are doing... drum roll, please. What, is this not loading? Just wait for the...
I did the drum roll.
keep rolling. Creep drum rolling.
Can't be bothered.
Step Up. We're doing Step Up. I should have remembered that. Because we're going to watch that together.
It is going to be our last in-person episode. it'll be what? Is it 97? Because then we've got three more.
I just closed the page. So I don't know.
Let's say it is.
Yeah, 97.
We're getting Why close. Not? Yeah, we're getting close.
But if you want to help out the show, give us a 5-star review or tell a friend.
We're at 6. We are at 6 5-star reviews.
Sexy 5-star reviews. Were we at 6 last time?
I think we might have been. Let me check. Let me check and see. We've both given it a 5-star review ourselves because we were testing it out.
Yeah, we were.
And I don't know if you can undo it after you've done it once.
We can review it on
we've got 6 5-star reviews.
Can I? How do I review on Apple?
Let's find that out at a time when we're not recording.
Yeah. I can.
I could press rate show. I could like I could take the stars off and rate it 0 stars.
It's got currently 2 on Apple.
Yeah.
It's got, I don't know, this is clearly broken. But on Apple, it's got 2 reviews.
Yeah.
Both are from me.
I was about to say, oh, cool, 2 reviews. That's nice. Both are from you.
Yeah. One of them is like just the star rating. And I've also, I wonder if I could just keep adding reviews. Because the other one I've written in September, I don't remember doing this, but it's 5 stars. And the title says, let's go. And then the text says, let's go. I don't remember. I can write another review. Oh my God, this is clearly fucked.
Yeah.
Live coverage of me writing my review. Title: Hoodwinked.
Oh my God.
Granny would get it.
You could have done this as your end bit.
This is my end bit.
But we haven't done AI Wars.
We haven't done AI Wars. So every week we do AI Wars. Which goes like this.
He'll get there. Don't worry.
AI. I never know wars,
if you're gonna,
baby.
Never know if you're gonna choke to death on that.
But I'm close every time.
I'm fucking close.
I've been edging. <It's> all...
oh, I'm close.
I'm better come. We pit up. We used to do Inspirobot, which is an inspirational quote slapped onto a random image that's generated by AI. And then one day I was like,
"Well, the image itself isn't generated by it. It's a random image."
Oh yeah,
with an AI quote. Yeah.
And I was like, these aren't funny anymore. So I found ImageFlip, which is taking generic 2007 memes and putting random AI-generated text on them. Although it's questionable whether they're AI fully or it's just taking from what people have created from the site. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And as soon as I did that, Inspirobot became funny again. So we pit them against each other. And it's currently Inspirobot 20, ImageFlip 19. Ooh. I'm nipping at the heels. and I can't remember who went first last week.
Nah, I don't think it matters.
Which probably means that you went first. No, I went first, so it's your
turn. Ah, you said it.
It's your turn.
All right, well, mine is like funny, not in the most like... shocking or offensive sense, which is normally sort of the funny that we try and get off of these. Mine is like somebody's fucking mum putting something on Facebook. And it is this like, it's this completely black background, like this void background. And it's got like a picture of Einstein, it's got Einstein sort of in the left to middle frame. Of the frame, and he looks kind of sad.
Oh, I know. You know,
he's got a very neutral expression, but he looks kind of sad. It's black and white.
Yeah,
and it just says to the right, "Let's make humanity okay again."
Facebook minion meme.
Where they're just like, "Oh, what? Make America great again? Oh,
let's make
all
humanity.
Of these other things. How about?" Let's make humanity okay again. Where did we go wrong?
Yeah, quote from Albert Einstein. That's not funny until you put the Facebook mum onto it.
I'll send it. I can't. Oh, my fucking touchpad stopped working, so I have to send it to you later. Good.
This one is the Doge meme. You know, like much wow, very dog.
Right.
I haven't
seen a good Doge in a while.
Well, this is, it's funny because it is the Doge meme, because you know how those memes go, you know the format. But this one is just the one line in the top left hand side, and it says, "Anal sex is bad." It's just the Doge dog giving me a fucking side eye.
God's sake. Man. Oh, I see, yeah.
God damn it. That fucking... I mean, if you hadn't included the goddamn Facebook mum, that shit gets me every time. They're the best ones are, like, the old grannies using Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it'll just be like, write a post about what you're feeling today. And then it's just them going like, 2 carrots, 4 eggs, 8 grams of flour.
Like, message Daniel.
Yeah. Have you seen the one?
And then it's the one, it's like, message Daniel, and then it's like, oh, wait, no, it's not working. Why is it not working? Why it says this? Why am I reading this? It's like they get stuck in a loop and they're reading the text, like the speech to text on the screen. She's like, wait, no, stop, I don't want that to say that. Why is it saying that? Wait, no, now it's saying that.
Have you seen the one where it's like the private message and it's like Oh my god, I've just seen one. I'll say that after. But the one where it's like, it's the Facebook marketplace and someone's selling some chairs. And she messages them to be like, hi, are these chairs still available? And then like a couple weeks later, the guy responds being like, no, sorry, they've been sold. And then she responds to them going like, these weren't for sale and I was never selling any chairs. I don't know why you've messaged me. And then this one, I just Googled one quickly. Oh, this is great. It's a group chat with this person and a granny. The group chat is called Do You Want This Bowl? And it's like, granny created group chat, Do You Want This Bowl? Granny added you. Granny changed this group's icon to a picture of a bowl. Granny left. You are now admin.
Honestly, fucking based grandma. Based grandma, dude. That's like the most passive. I don't think you can get something more passive aggressive than that. Like, you've been messaging somebody if they want this bowl for so long that you have to add them to a group chat specifically and leave it and just be like, do you want the fucking bowl?
And the bowl, it looks like the bowl's dirty as well.
Oh man, that's right, one advanced more. Shit.
one more. It's how was your trip? Tell Roland and Elaine. Hi, this took me. Yes, and then set new message. Sorry, Lucas. I mer-per-per-per-per. And then the third message. I can't do this. Sorry. Fucking gets me, dude, that shit. You knew my weakness. You knew if you just said it was a Facebook mum doing it, it would get me.
Dude, my favorite fucking thing is my favorite one that I've seen of that stuff is the one where it was like a police fucking post on Facebook saying that this woman had like been in a car crash and literally lost like all of her kids and her husband or something, or like one, it was one of the kids that survived, something like that. It was a horrific thing. And then in the comments, this woman just put this sticker of this dog going, bye. And then they were like, what the fuck? And she was like, sorry, I don't know how to use Facebook or something like that. And it was just the most savage fucking thing. This dog like, bye. Oh man, fuck me. Fucking hell. All right. Well, that's about it. Oh,
fuck it up. Yeah, yeah, we're still recording. I forget.
Yeah. Okay, you know what?
I was just looking at granny memes.
You know what? That's something to take away for the listeners. Go and look up some Facebook grandma mums. Memes.
Oh, good stuff. Brilliant. Good stuff. All right. Well,
bye.
Bye.